Matthew chapter 6. Tonight I want to highlight some things. I want to go over some things that are in my heart, and I don't want it to turn into a series at this time, but I will come back and share on this subject on Sunday morning so that the entire body can hear it, because it's important that everyone hear it. I would love to just begin the series on this tonight, but again, I know there's people that are able to be with us on Sunday that can't be with us on the two midweek services, so I want to wait and delve into it in detail at a later date, and that's the subject of the kingdom of God, God's kingdom among us. And if you were here during Jubilee, you'll recall that Jack Taylor challenged us to think about, get in the Word of God, and search out what the Word has to say about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. Jack emailed me just recently and sent his love and his regards to the body. Just was so blessed with Jubilee and the spirit of the house and the move of the Spirit. He just had nothing but great things to say. He also has adopted, he and Jerry has adopted Sue and I now as their son and daughter. And so we're no longer orphans, but we have another spiritual father and another spiritual mother, and they are sending me legal adoption papers in the mail. And so when those get here, I'll show those to you, that he now is my father in the Lord, or one of my fathers in the Lord, and things of that nature. But if you weren't with us during the daytime meetings, his spirit just consumed us. It just drew us in and gave us all a hunger for the kingdom of God and what that means and how to relate properly to the kingdom of God. So I'm going to cover three commandments tonight that Jesus gave, or the Word gives, concerning the kingdom of God. And I'm just going to highlight these, give you an overview, because it's what's in my heart. And we'll come back later after we get through with the series on Sunday morning, From Egypt to Canaan. I'm so excited about that series. I'm biting at the bit, looking forward to Sundays like never before, because I know the power of what's on the inside of me. And if I can get it out of here to out there with accuracy and sanity, I guarantee you it's going to equip you to go from your Egypt on into your Canaan land. So I've got to finish that series up, but then we're gonna talk about the kingdom of God in detail, and it's going to be a blessing. I know that in my heart of hearts. So let's look at these three commandments that the Word of God gives concerning the kingdom of God. Let me give you all three, and then we're going to look at them in the Scriptures, and we're going to believe God to relate properly to them. The first commandment that I want to share tonight with you is Jesus commanded us to pray for the kingdom of God to come on earth, and God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He said, pray this way. Pray that God's kingdom would come, and that God's will would be done on or in earth as it is in heaven. I like that. I like that. I don't waver with praying about certain things like some people do and waver whether or not it's God's will. I just think of God's will in heaven, and whatever God's will is in heaven, I pray that will be done in earth and on the earth. So I don't get caught up in all the doctrinal debates. I know whatever is going on in heaven should be going on among us, because God said pray that way. Jesus said pray that way. So that's the first commandment, is to pray for the kingdom to come and that God's will would be done in earth as it is in heaven. The second commandment that we're going to look at concerning the kingdom of God is to seek ye first God's kingdom and His righteousness, and all the things that the Gentiles are killing themselves over pursuing, God will just give it to you. God will just give it to you. So I'm commanded to pray for the kingdom, and I'm commanded to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things in chapter 6 that I'm going to look at here in a minute will be added unto me. God wants to give you some stuff, amen? God wants to get to us some stuff. He just doesn't want us seeking the stuff. He wants us seeking His kingdom first. Doesn't mean we can't seek other things. We just have to seek the kingdom first, and His righteousness, not political correctness, not religious righteousness. It's being polluted and diluted every day if you're listening to the news, but God's kind of righteousness. What God says is right is right. What God says is wrong, and if you'll seek that and pursue that and believe that no matter what you're hearing in your culture, then you're going to be blessed in the kingdom of God. And then the third commandment that we're going to look at is in Hebrews chapter 12, and that is to receive the kingdom. Receive the kingdom. So I'm to pray for the kingdom to come. I'm to seek the kingdom first. And then I'm to receive the kingdom of God in my midst and in my heart. And so we're gonna highlight these. Now, just for an overview again, and so we're all on the same page, let me define the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, in simplicity, is God rules. God rules. The devil drools and God rules. Amen? That's the bottom line on the kingdom of God, is that God rules. Now, I've researched this my entire Christian life. Sue and I have lived in the light of those three issues concerning the kingdom our entire married life. And so this is how we live our life, is praying for the kingdom, seeking the kingdom, and receiving the kingdom. So I know that God has blessed me abundantly because of understanding in simplicity His kingdom in my heart and in my midst. His kingdom is here. His kingdom has always been here. His kingdom is here now, and His kingdom will forevermore be here. Forevermore be here. It just doesn't come with observation. You don't see it and perceive it with your senses or with your eyes. Jesus said in Luke 17, verse 20 and 21, that the kingdom of God doesn't come with observation. You don't say, lo here or lo there, but the kingdom of God is within you. One translation says, among you. So God's kingdom is where God rules. So I have chosen to define it over the years for my own understanding and application. God's kingdom is where God's redemptive, sovereign rule is in manifestation. God's redemptive, sovereign rule. His redemptive, sovereign word, rule, will is being manifest. That's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God doesn't have boundaries like kingdoms like we understand, like America has boundaries and it's a kingdom. Local governments have, if you will, a kingdom and they have boundaries. You know, when you enter one city and leave a city, there's boundaries. God's kingdom has no boundaries and God's kingdom has no end. No end. It's where God rules. It's where His redemptive, sovereign word, rule, authority, and will is being manifested. Is being manifested. And I'm to pray that to come in every area of my life. I'm to seek it first, and I'm to receive the kingdom of God. I'm to receive God's agenda, God's rule, God's plan, not my own. Hallelujah. Amen. And not yours. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, if I won't even accept my own rule, my own agenda, why in the world would I let you manipulate me with yours? I want God's rule in my life. I want God's word working in my life. I want God's will. I want God's authority. I want His kingdom working in my marriage, working in my health, working in my wealth, working in my ministry, working in my home. And I can pray that. I can pray that. So let's just look at this now and those three issues. And remember, later we'll come back and we'll talk about the kingdom in much more detail. But this is what's in my heart for tonight. And I have to share, and I've taught you that I can't just pick what I'm going to share and when I'm going to share it. The last time I shared, I was on the love of God, and I don't even remember what I said last. I know y'all don't. Amen? Amen. And so I was having a hard time figuring out, well, where did I leave off, and where did I want to go, and what was in my heart? Evidently, it left my heart, and this got in my heart, so I got to share what's in my heart. Is that all right? Amen. All right. Matthew chapter 6, let's look at the first one. This is a model for prayer that Jesus gave His disciples. They asked Him to teach them to pray. And it says in verse 9 of Matthew 6, "After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Now there's two mentions of the kingdom in this model for prayer that Jesus gave. I don't believe this is a prayer we're supposed to pray that doesn't mean anything and just to make us feel good. I don't believe it's a prayer Jesus gave us where we could put it on a plaque and hang it in the kitchen and nobody knows what it means or apply it to their life. I believe He gave us a model for prayer, and this is how we pray. We approach Him as our Father, and that His name is hallowed, and we are to pray, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now, I don't believe we're supposed to pray in doubt. I believe we're supposed to pray and believe. and believe. So you ought to be praying. I ought to be praying. I need to be praying that God's kingdom would come to my marriage. And that God's will would be done in my marriage. Not the devil's, not people, not Sue, not mine, but God's will be done. I need to pray, God's kingdom come to my children. And God's will be done in my children's lives. And I want in my children's lives, while they're on this earth, what others are waiting to die to get to heaven to get. We're not to be praying that we die and get to go to heaven. We're supposed to be praying that heaven comes to us. Comes to us. So we need to, when we're facing a challenge in our health, we need to pray, thy kingdom come to my body. Thy kingdom come to my mind. If you're losing your mind, everybody pay attention. If you're losing your mind and trying to cause me to lose my mind, we both need to be praying that the kingdom of God would come to your thinking. To your thinking. That the kingdom of God would come to our church. And that God's will would be done in our church. See, just because we're a church doesn't mean the kingdom is manifesting in our churches. There's a lot of churches that the kingdom of God's not manifesting in that church. God's will's not being done. Men's will is being done. One man, the pastor's will is being done. Deacons' wills are being done. People with the money's will is being done. We're supposed to all be praying, not my will, but thine. Not my will, but thine be done. That's a part of praying for the kingdom of God. I pray that God's authority would rule in my body. God's authority, his power, his word would rule in my finances. God, I pray your kingdom would come to my money. Now, right now, it's chump change. But if your kingdom comes to my money and your will is done in my finances, I can go from chump change to wealth that can make me blessed and a blessing to multitudes of people. Amen? So I have to pray for God's will, God's kingdom to come to my finances, God's kingdom to come in wherever I'm working, wherever I'm moving. God's will would come to my business. God's authority would rule in my business. The businessmen and businesswomen, you need to pray that the kingdom come to your business. That God's will be done. God's power be working in your businesses. Am I making sense? Yes. That's how we're to pray. We're under commandment to pray for the kingdom to come. Not sit around, wait to die for a better day. And things of that nature. We're supposed to pray this way. So, we can grow in this. We can develop in this. We can become more kingdom-minded. God's rule. God's redemptive sovereign rule working in our midst, in our hearts, in our lives. If we was to pray this way every day. I'm telling you, few people pray this way. You mentioned Pastor Lee sharing last week about the potter and the clay. And how it sounds like he taught down the line of that we tend to want to take our lives, our clay, and tell God what to make us. Instead of realizing, wait a minute, there's a kingdom that's come. There's a king that sits on the throne. And we are serving him. And whatever he wants is what we should want. So we should be praying, thy kingdom come to my ministry. Thy kingdom come to my call. Your will be done, not mine. I don't want to do my own thing. I want to do your thing. If you do your own thing, you'll have to keep praying for God to bless it. And you're going to struggle. But if you do God's thing, it'll be blessed. Without struggle. Amen? So that's number one. The first commandment concerning God's kingdom, his redemptive, sovereign rule in our midst, in our hearts, and in our lives, is to pray for it to come. All right, the second one is to seek the kingdom first. Seek God's kingdom. In that same book of Matthew, chapter 6, look at verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? I still find that fascinating. I prayed over this and prayed and read it without stopping and commenting, but that prayer's not being answered right now. I can't read that, not comment. It is amazing in our culture today how many people think animals are more important and valuable than human life. And it must have been the same thing in Jesus' day, because he asked them the question, don't you know and don't you understand you're more valuable and worth more than the birds or the animals? They probably didn't know any more back then than we know. And I'm here to tell you, you are worth a whole lot more to God than any bird, than any eagle egg, amen, than any kangaroo rat in your backyard, or anything else that people are all goofed up over. God loves you. I'm not saying he doesn't love creation and the animals. I'm saying you're much more valuable. You're not to even be compared to an animal in any way, shape, or form. Amen? Amen. So, we got in verse 27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubic unto his stature? Oklahoma, Texas talk. Which of you, by worrying, can add to your life? Which of you, filled with anxiety and fear of all that's happening in the world, can add any quality or length to your life? You can't. And verse 28 says, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow's cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or whether withal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles, or the other nations, seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Notice again, that's a commandment. We are to seek first the kingdom of God, and all these material things, all these natural things that consume the unbelievers, will be added unto you. Man, I tell you, that has been a focus in my life. It's been a guiding light in times of trouble and confusion and whatever else I may be going through, or Sue and I together in the ministry may be going through, that we just need to keep seeking first the kingdom of God. Not back up, not back out, not back off. The kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom. And seek it first, and God's righteousness, and all these things will be added unto me. If you look at the world, I shared on this years ago, the Gentiles and the world, and I called it the cycle of the living dead. How many of you remember that phrase that I used? Anybody at all? Thank you. Praise the Lord. The cycle of the living dead. Man without God is alive, but he's dead spiritually, and he just goes through the motions. And he gets up, he drinks the same cup of coffee, goes to the same workplace, puts in his time, gets the same paycheck, goes home and belly aches about how little he made, and gets up and just does the same thing over and over again. And he spends his whole life in pursuit of the almighty dollar to get bigger homes, to feel better about himself, better clothes than his neighbor to look better and feel better about himself, etc., etc., etc. He doesn't know where his value is. He doesn't know where his value base comes from and where his worth comes from. And so he is burning his life up in this vicious cycle of the acquisition of things to feel better about who he is and what he is, and to look better than his fellow man. And around they go, in pursuit of the almighty dollar, in serving the almighty dollar. Because the almighty dollar is going to make me feel better and worth more. It's going to make me look better than my fellow man. And on I can go. That's a horrible cycle. That's horrible, to get up and your whole life is consumed with the obsession of the pursuit of things of this world that will not make you happy, will not make you fulfilled, and will not bring the sense of esteem and the sense of worth that only God and relationship with him can bring in your life. You know, when you break that cycle of the living dead off of you and start seeking God and his kingdom first and his righteousness, what is right and what does God say is right, and I'm going to believe God, when you do that, God begins to bless. The blessings of God begin to come upon you, and now you can handle the things, and the things aren't the focus, and the things aren't your pursuit, and the things don't have you. You have the things now. The things. Now you can lose them in a test or a trial. You can lose them in just everyday fluctuations of the economy. Somebody can steal them, etc., etc. And you're not all bummed out. You're not going to be jumping up and down with joy if you lose your things. But the bottom line is, if God is the focus of my life, if I'm not serving two masters but one master, and I'm focused and I'm pursuing the kingdom, God's rule, God's word, God's will, God's domain, God's sovereign redemptive work in my life, now I keep my perspective, and no matter what I go through, I believe with all my heart the divine purpose of God is being worked in everything and through everything, and I'm going to win in the end. I'm going to win in the end. That's a great life. That is a wonderful, wonderful life. And that's a commandment of God, is just keep seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things that those in the cycle of the living dead are burning themselves out on in pursuit of, God's just going to graciously bring those things into our lives and we can enjoy them now. Again, He says, seek ye first. I like that. That says there's other things I must seek in the kingdom of God and in life, and it's okay for me to be pursuing and seeking other things, but I must seek ye first the kingdom of God. My first priority is God's rule, God's redemptive work in my life, His authority, His word, His will working in my life. And then He says, and I love it, and His righteousness. God's righteousness is different than political correctness. We live in scary, scary days with the political powers that be and this spirit of political correctness that is destroying our country. It is infecting and affecting the church at a mind-boggling way. And I'm telling you, we don't need to be seeking the kingdom first and Washington, D.C.'s definition of what's right or wrong. We don't need to seek ye first the kingdom of God and religious self-righteousness, man's idea, even in religious circles, of what's right or wrong. How many of you know people are goofed up? Has anybody besides me been listening to the news? I don't want to bring nothing up, but people are goofed up. Babylon and the religious systems of this world, I promise you, in the last days are going to collapse because they are so far from the kingdom of God, so far from the word of God and God's kind of righteousness, that they wouldn't know if God showed up. If God even showed up. It is sad and sick when the church don't even know what's right or wrong. God's righteousness. Now you got to make up your mind. And are you going to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Or are you just going to listen to everybody around you and religious groups and let them define now what's right and wrong and what we're going to pursue? I'm going with God and the kingdom of God. Amen. You have no idea, dear ones. You have no idea how precious the Word of God is to you. And to get in it, that's a part of the kingdom of God. There is a kingdom that's here. And there's a king that is raised from the dead. And He's sitting on a throne right now. He's ruling right now. He's just merciful and benevolent. And He's allowing people to make their choices. And in all of that, in His infinite wisdom, He's still working everything together for His divine purpose in the earth. And there's a day coming that the kingdom of God will be consummated on the earth. At the second coming of the Lord, the kingdom of God that's been here all along, the kingdom of God that is manifesting here tonight, right here, and can only be entered into if you're born again. You can't even see it. You can't even see the kingdom of God, Jesus said in John chapter 3, till you get born again. Why do you have to be born again? Why do you have to be born from above? Why do you have to get a new spirit? Because the kingdom of God's in the spirit world. It's in the spirit realm, and it is coming into the natural realm either through faith and people trusting and believing God and entering and receiving that kingdom, or God's judgment working in the earth still when somebody's heading in a way that messes up His divine purpose and will in the earth. That kingdom will manifest, boy, and God will bring kings down. He'll bring nations down if they begin to violate His divine overall will and try to take us in a direction God hasn't preordained for this world to go. Because God's taking us somewhere. One day Jesus is coming back, And when Jesus comes back and manifests himself, then the kingdom that you can't see with these eyes right now, it's going to manifest in the natural world, and all unrighteousness is going to be over. There will be no more unrighteousness allowed in the earth. There'll be no more devil. There'll be no more people of the devil. There'll be nothing but those who have made their choice to live in the kingdom, to pursue the King of the kingdom, to listen to the King of the kingdom. Am I making sense without saying something? It's a serious day. But God's working, and he's allowing things, and he's even using Satan in the church to make the lines clearer and clearer and clearer. And there will be such a mass exodus out of religion in these last days. We can't find a building big enough in Sherman to hold everybody when they wake up. That there's a kingdom. There's a king, and there's righteousness, God's righteousness, that we are to be seeking, pursuing with all of our heart. So I'm to pray for it. Thank you, Jesus. I'm to seek it first. And then the last one is receive it. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And Hebrews 12 is a chapter, as I reflected on this week, I used to preach out of this a lot years ago. It just seemed like half the time in my preaching, I was over at Hebrews 12, and I hadn't been there in a while, and ministered out of Hebrews 12, and it just felt strange to go back over Hebrews 12, and how many messages I could recall in my heart, in my mind, that part of my heart, concerning this chapter. It is an awesome chapter. Chapter 12 of Hebrews. How many of you know that it is God's will, it would be God's kingdom in your home, for the husband to make the coffee? That's the kingdom of God. Husbands are to make the coffee. Wives are not to be making the coffee. It's the husband. It's the man, biblically, that is to make the coffee. And I can prove it to you right here. It's the book of Hebrews. It's not the book of Shebrews. We got it mixed up. It's the book of Hebrews. Wasn't that deep? Wasn't that spiritual? That's God's kingdom. Is that the Hebrews in the house? Well, if you really read the book and that chapter, you'll find that it starts off with focus. That we're in a race. And it's real. Man, I apologize. Sometimes I can feel myself about to jump off the stage. It's a good thing I can't fly. If I could fly, I'd just jump off and start flying, and I'd fly by and slap some of you. Bless others. Bless you. Bless you. But it's like I just feel myself all of a sudden just... And it's like, where are the people of God? Where's our heart? Where's our focus? Where's our mind? We're in a race. And it's real. And he says we're encompassed round about with this great cloud of witnesses. And if you keep it in context, chapter 11 tells you who the great cloud of witnesses are. It's the patriarchs and matriarchs that have ran the race before us. We didn't start this thing. This thing started in the garden, dear ones. Abel ran his race. And he sought the kingdom of God, God's will, God's word, God's rule in the earth. God's authority, God's domain. What does God say? And I'm going to be willing or obedient to God. Amen. And the first murder in the Bible was religious in nature. Cain just decided he'll do it his way, his own righteousness. I'll approach unto God my way. And that's the heart of all religion. Dead religion is we're approaching God in our own name, approaching God after our own philosophy and our own ideology, instead of just reading his word and what he says, be willing and obedient to his word. If he says this is wrong, it's flat wrong. It doesn't matter how many people say it's right. If God says it's wrong, it's wrong. If God says here's the way you do it, here's what I want you do it God's way. And you'll see the blessings of God. Things will go well for you and things of that nature. So he says run, and you run with endurance. You've got to endure. Am I the only one sometimes gets tired? Amen. Thank you for that powerful response. Disarmed me on that one. I didn't expect such a good response, so I don't know what to say now. I'm not talking about just physically tired. I just mean, am I the only one trying to raise my kids and try and teach them what a functional marriage is and what a functional home is and just basics of morality, and it's thrown in my face by that television on a regular basis. It's thrown in my face by the church. It's thrown in my face by the world every day and crammed down me things that are absolutely abominations, absolutely immoral, out of step with the kingdom of God. No doubt in my mind about it. Yet I see people diluted and polluted and watered down more and more and more. And you just think, what's the use? I just give up. Just buy a shack in Montana. Build a high fence around it. But then I'd be accused of starting a commune. A compound. Are you hearing my heart? It's like you just want to quit. It's like just turn the whole thing over to the devil. Turn the whole thing over to Babylon and this ungodly religious systems that we're all fighting and trying to get out of and away from. And it's like, where are the people of God? Where are the people that love God? Where are the people that realize there is a kingdom, there is a king, and that we are to yield, submit, follow him? It doesn't matter what I think, you think, or anybody else thinks. The king says it's this way, it's that way. Yeah, but our group this, and our group that, and mama this, and mama that, and Washington, D.C. this, and there's got to be a people in the earth that Jesus will come back to gather unto himself that have bowed their knee to the king and the rule of the king by faith and choice. Oh, I'm about to preach. By faith and choice. There's a horrible day coming where every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord, not Buddha, not Muhammad, not Hare Krishna or Krishna. And there'll be a day nobody will have a choice. And yet we live in the day when we get to choose. And yet how many people are choosing to run the race that's set before us like Jesus ran his race, despising the shame? Because of the joy that was set before him. He talked about laying aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. And then looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the author of a lot of folks' faith, but I don't know where the finisher is. They start, they get excited, and bam, they give up on God. The Bible says God's soul has no pleasure in him that draws back. Think about that. That God's soul has no pleasure in them that draw back. We have to press into the kingdom. We have to pursue the kingdom. We have to cooperate with God's kingdom that is here that has to be accepted by faith right now. And it's not just going to be automatic and it's not going to be easy. Paul said, with great tribulation shall we enter the kingdom of God. He wasn't talking about dying. He wasn't talking about something in heaven. He's talking about right now. It's a dogfight trying to enter God's rule. The devil don't like it. Politicians don't like it. Bishops don't like it. And you just feel like, my God. And so you pick yourself back up. Get over your pity party. But some of you are sitting on the pity potty. You need to grow up. Even when I mess up, it's good. Hallelujah. Amen. Get off the pity potty and enter the kingdom. Quit whining and belly aching. I catch myself and I just get mad at myself. It's like, stop it. If I'm the only one, and I feel like Elijah sometimes, I'm the only one serving you, God. I'm the only one that believes the Bible. So then he starts talking about chastening in chapter 12. And that the Lord loves you. And because the Lord loves you, he disciplines you. There's an awful idea in the world today. Discipline, correction. Nobody's wrong about anything. And nobody can be right and that confident about being right in this culture. And yet God says, I love you, and because I love you, I'm going to chasten you. I'm going to discipline you. I'm going to scourge you. Some of us need a beating. I mean, an absolute beating for the thinking that we refuse to let go of. God loves us so much that he's going to beat us. He's going to scourge us. He's going to discipline us. I'm not talking about punishment. I'm not talking about wrath. I'm not talking about hurting or harming you. I'm talking about his redemptive work in your life doesn't always feel good. It doesn't. When the rule of God begins to work, when the kingdom, you start praying, you start seeking, and then I'm going to show you here in Hebrews 12, receiving the kingdom is not always comfortable. Because we all have to deal with our motives, attitudes. Everybody say, I love. Brother Dwayne. I hadn't heard it in a while. All right, so he talks about chastening and that it's for our good and for our profit. Now, look at this. He starts talking about the church and the voice of God at Mount Sinai and how when God spoke, it scared the people. It scared them. They were so far removed from God and his kingdom, his rule, his word, his will, his manifested presence, that's his kingdom. They were so far from it, it scared them. And it says in verse 22 that we have come, you are come, unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Now, did you see how in context there he talked about the church is the heavenly Jerusalem? We are the new Jerusalem. We are not the kingdom of God. We're in the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is in us. We're the heavenly Jerusalem. We're the assembly of spirits made just or righteous in the presence of God. See, if you've called upon the name of the Lord, you've been born again, and your spirit is righteous and truly holy. Boy, that's good news. That's good news. So we've got this innumerable company of angels. We've got the general assembly of the church. Look at verse 24. And to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that sprinkleth better things than that of Abel, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Now, did you see that? God spoke to them. He told them what his will was. He told him what his word was. And they didn't listen. They turned away from it. And he's warning us. You know, some of the churches that many of you came out of, they don't even believe God speaks. That's sad. Man, you're really messing up if you don't even believe God speaks. Because that's how he works in your life, is with his word, his written word, and his spoken word by the Holy Spirit in your life. And you got to listen to God. You got to obey God. You got to have a willing and obedient heart if you're going to eat the good of the land. He said, they heard his voice, they turned away from him that spoke from heaven, verse 26, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also the heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Now everybody getting this? Bottom line is, God's still talking, and there's a time coming in the timeline of history that God is going to speak again, and not only shake the earth, he's going to shake heaven, and he's going to shake everything that can be shook. There's a whole lot of shaking going to be going on. And anything that can be shook will be shook. And it won't be the devil shaking it. I love word and faith people. There really aren't very many word and faith people. There is selective word and faith people. They just have selective passages that they like instead of the whole word. It doesn't say the devil's going to shake everything off of us and around us that can be shook. It says God's going to shake it. Not the devil. God. Look at verse 28. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace. We need that. Whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Did everybody see that? There is a day coming, and I believe we're in it. I believe we're in a day of tremendous shakening. I believe the shakening has begun. But even if I'm wrong, I have a word from God here that a day is coming, and it could be our day. It could be our generation that God promised He's going to start speaking, and He's going to shake everything off of us and around us that can be shook, so that only that which cannot be shook will remain, and that's the kingdom that you receive. Amen. That you receive. Now, I appreciate that. I'm not going to let you draw me off into a sense of false security here. I'm not sure I communicated there, because you're really not supposed to clap on that stuff, because it's not fun having everything in your life get shook up. And some people don't want no shaking in. They just want a camp meeting spirit. They want to have church and have a camp meeting spirit. You know what I mean by that? Let's just have fun. Now, I want to have fun. Don't misunderstand me. And I like the camp meeting spirit. But there's more to the kingdom of God than just you feeling good. And just you getting happy and having a happy dance all the time. No, I'm praying for the kingdom to come. I'm seeking the kingdom first. And if I'm receiving that kingdom, that stuff from God and in God that cannot be shook, then some other stuff has to go. And God will shake off of your life things that can be shook, so you're prepared for the day of the Lord. See, he's supposed to be burning on you every day, shaking a little off of you every day. But I fear for this generation, if we're the last generation and God shows up and shakes everything and you haven't been shook up to then, your bones are going to rattle, dear ones. I don't know about you, but I go through times of shakening all the time, wavering about my belief systems. I'd rather waver now and have my faith tried by fire and it be found true and precious, so that in the day of the great shakening, I'm not shook. I know who I believe and why I believe and who He is and who I am and what I have, and that I'm not playing games and I'm not deceived, because I've been tested. And I'll be able to stand. The Old Testament prophets talked about who's going to be able to stand in the day of the Lord, because He's a consuming fire. And there's a whole system that is so much flesh, so much world, so much junk, so much man, and people aren't willing to let God shake it off. If God showed up, it would be devastating for them. Can you imagine if you have not yielded to the rule of God, and you're just playing games and playing church, but you're really doing your own thing, going your own way, nothing really matters, and you're not even positive there is a God, and the shaking starts? How hard it's going to be for you to stand. You know, a part of the kingdom of God is physical healing in my body. It's a part of God's rule in earth as it is in heaven. And I promise you, if you pray for the kingdom of God to come to your health and you seek the kingdom of God first, you will go through trying times concerning your health. And there will come times when it's going to come right down. Do I believe it because God said it, or because I feel it? Do I believe it because God said it, or it's manifesting in my body? Or do I believe it just period? God said it. I believe it. I don't feel it. I'm not experiencing it. I'm not even sure God's in the room, but I'm going to let God be true and every man, circumstance, trial, a lie as far as His word, because heaven and earth are going to pass away. My body's going to pass away, but His word will endure forever and ever and ever and ever. His word's true whether I experience it or not. God wills to heal me whether I accept it or receive it or not. And I'm going to stand it with my dying breath. I'm going to say, by His stripes, I'm healed. Yeah. Yeah. Your faith in that area will get tested. There'll be a shaking happen. Start believing God for finances and you're going to get all shook up. Because do you believe it because God said it, or do you believe it because you're able to manipulate some principles and think you're just really something and got a handle on prosperity now? Or do you just believe God's word, period? There's times in all of our lives we just have to, like one preacher said, a friend of mine, just gut it up and I don't care if I feel it. I don't care if I see it. I don't care if nobody around me believes it. It's God's word. It's His authority. It's His rule, His dominion. And Satan can fight me all he wants. He can attack me all he wants. I believe my God, and I'm going to stand. And I guarantee you, you get through that thing, and you talk about a faith and a confidence to face the things that are fixing to come upon this earth. I remember during the Y2K thing, it was amazing. I mean, people were jumping out of windows with panic and fear, and the false prophets just coming out of the woodwork with the sky is falling, and all the worry, the anxiety, and the fear over two letters and a number, a Y, a 2, and a K. And there's fear and panic all over the place in the church. I'm thinking, man, don't read the book of Revelation. Don't even read it. It'll just scare you. Where there'll be a day that rocks will be falling on people and they'll be begging to die and can't die. And it'll be so terrible and be so bad with a shakening. Yeah, but we're not going to be here. It's amazing how many cute little doctrines we got so we don't have to go through no shakening. We don't have to go through no tests, no trials. It truly is amazing to me. We can't take any pressure. We can't take any heat. I'm talking about me sometimes. I mean, I can't enter on into the kingdom, God's rule in my life, and there not be opposition come at me. It's impossible. Jesus had opposition. Can I get a witness? Paul had, can I get a witness, a little bit of opposition. I mean, I've had some bad emails, and I've had people get in my face, but man, I haven't been beat with rods 5 times, 40 times on my back, nigh to death. My ship hadn't gone down. I haven't been snake bit. I got bit by a scorpion yesterday, but I got corrected on that. I really didn't get bit. According to my son, I got stung. But that didn't change the pain. The terminology did not fix it. I mean, stung or bit, it still hurts. What was my point? Oh. But you know, how do I know what's in my heart? How do I know if I'm playing games? How do I know if I'm walking off in deception? When the shakening starts, that's how I know. Will I be standing after the shakening? Because he said the only thing that stands after God's shakening is the kingdom of God. So if I go through a shakening and I'm still standing, now I know God's rule is working in my heart and in my life in that area. I'm secure now. I'm confident. My own heart can't deceive me. I've been through something, and I'm still standing. I've been through something, and I still love people. I've been through something, and I'm still in church. Well, I just love the Lord. Yeah, we'll wait and see. I'm committed, brother. So many people in the church sound like Peter. Lord, I'm with you. I'm committed unto death. I believe he meant it when he said that. I believe he believed it in his heart. I'm with you and I'll die for you. And Jesus said, before daybreak, you're going to deny me 3 times. Peter didn't know what was in his heart. He thought he knew what was in his heart. He thought he knew what he believed. He thought he was committed. And then the heat hit. Then the shaking started. Come on now. He denied the Lord 3 times. I love what Jesus said to him, said, Peter, the devil desires to sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for you. Well, he must not have prayed that the devil wouldn't do it. And his prayer must not have been very effectual. And he must not have really believed in his own prayer, because right after he said, I've prayed for you that your faith not fail. And then he says, oh, and by the way, once you've been converted, in other words, you're going to fail. Even though I prayed for you, Peter, that's just too bad. You're still going to fail. But after you're converted, go comfort the brethren. I mean, even Jesus, I'm praying for you, but it probably ain't going to help very much. Because God is fixing to shake your life up. And God is going to reveal to you if you're for real and if you're really committed, or have you deceived yourself. So I pray that your faith not fail. After you're converted, after you fall flat on your face, because you ain't the fancy hot rod you think you are, go comfort the other brothers that have fallen on their face. How many of you know that when you have fallen on your face and been comforted, you can go help somebody now, instead of like most of these preachers that never have a problem? If you're sitting under a preacher that never has a problem, flee. He is Satan incarnate. Everybody still getting this? It's easy to sit here now. It's easy when things... What about when the shakening starts? When a shakening happens in our lives, we got to stop and go, uh-oh. I've prayed for the kingdom. I'm seeking the kingdom. Now I am about to receive of the kingdom, and it's going to be tested. And it's God that's going to do it. I'm not saying God's doing bad things to us. I'm not saying God's putting bad things on us. I'm saying God says he's going to speak, and everything in my life that can be shook, he wants to shake it off where there's nothing left in me but that which cannot be shaken, and that's the kingdom of God. Amen. The kingdom of God. So can I encourage you to pray for the kingdom to come and God's will to be done in your life? Can I encourage you and admonish you to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, so God can get all this good stuff to you? And then can I admonish you and can I encourage you to receive an unshakable kingdom, so that when the economy is shook, the nations are shook, Washington, D.C. gets shook, when religious systems get shook, you'll be able to stand and be unshook because you've received the kingdom of our God. Amen. Praise God. I don't know if, and I'm quitting, but I don't know if one of the emails, and I don't want to name who it was, but I did get an email from a sister who had a dream, and her son had a dream, and I'm not saying it's of God. I don't know. I'm praying about it. But I wonder where we would be as a church if there was a nuclear holocaust. We live in a different world. There's evil in this world. And we live in a country that's got a segment in it that don't even believe there is evil. Don't even believe there's evil. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We need to get serious. That's what I'm trying to say. Am I all right? That's what I'm trying to say. I know I'm not preaching real good, and I'm not bringing everything to a conclusion here and got us all... I'm bearing my heart and my soul and saying, look, folks, don't play games. Pray for the kingdom. Seek the kingdom and receive the kingdom. And when you get shook, don't get all shook up about getting shook. God's going to shake you just a little bit and rattle your bones, so that when everything else gets shook and rattled, ain't no big deal to me. I've been shook my whole life. I know what I believe, and I know what's right, and I know what God has said to me, and I know what the truth is, and I can stand. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I love you. Amen. Let's stand. Thank you, Father. Man, can you imagine a series on this? Man, this would be good. I want to preach it down here. But that wouldn't be fair to everybody up there. Because then when the shaking it happens, only Sherman would endure. And that just wouldn't be right to the Oklahoma people. Because we know they're the ones that are of God. Oh, let it go. I apologize. That was the flesh. That was just the flesh. That stuff needs shook off me. That was wrong. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for these precious people. And I pray that your kingdom would come to their lives in a greater measure. Their health, their wealth, their marriages, their businesses, their workplace, our city. That your kingdom would come and your will would be done in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray that you would give us a heart set on the kingdom of God. And that we would seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That good stuff, all the stuff that's around us would be added unto us and we would have it and it never have us. I pray, oh God, that we would receive the kingdom because it's an unshakable kingdom. And when the shakening starts, we'll endure and we'll be able to stand. I pray this sincerely with all my heart and for the people in Jesus' name and for his glory. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Man, there's people down here to pray for you. I'll tarry for a few moments and pray for you. I don't want to upstage my brothers and sisters. They've got an anointing in their life to pray for you, but I'm willing to stay and pray for you as well. I love you. You're dismissed. I'll see you Sunday so we can go from Egypt to Canaan. Amen.